Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18 plus. Welcome in to the Pigskin Preview presented by Prize Picks. That's a fun little alliteration for you. Some might call it consonants if you actually paid attention to fifth grade grammar. I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett. And if you can read at a first grade level, you can see that I suck at gambling and Luckett is very good at gambling. Luckett, fresh off a 9-1 week on the college football column on KSR Plus, I am 1-5 in 2 weeks, and the only winning ticket I had last week was hopping on that Chris Creighton EMU train. But Luckett, you can take your victory lap. I'm just going to keep, we got to keep chopping away. We got to keep hacking away. It's not time to give up now. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, I was seeing the ball like it was a beach ball last week. So we were just nailing them. We had some close ones. Like we had Jacksonville State in the column. They covered by a half a point. We had Baylor in the column. They covered by a half a point. But a cover is a cover. So a really good week. Capped it off with a nice cover by Oklahoma State in the after dark window to go 6-0 in our traditional against the spread picks. 3-1 in kind of our more degenerate areas. North Carolina team total under, unfortunately, did not hit. That was disappointing. But Nebraska, Gabe Irvin, he went over in the first half rushing yards. So we cashed some easy tickets as well as some ones we had to maybe sweat out a little bit. So a good week. And, Nick, the only thing better I can do than the 9-1 is 10-0. So we're still chasing after perfection. We're not going to settle. We're not eating the rat poison this week. We're not eating it. We're keeping it away, and we're staying hungry over here.
And if North Carolina doesn't go to overtime, too, I mean, that was – that was there for the taking.
If a kicker makes a kick at the end of the regulation, I mean, that's an all-time weekend right there, 10-0.
Hey, they're just kids, though, right? They make mistakes. I know plenty about making mistakes, but might keep chopping away. Is this a reference to Greg Schiano? Maybe. We might be betting Rutgers this weekend. Who knows what it's going to be. Before we get into our ATS picks, we got to remind you that this show is presented by our friends at Prize Picks. The best way to get in on the action with a skill-based fantasy game where you pick your squares, you go more or less. And they've got this new thing now, too, Luckett, called reboots. So you pick multiple squares, right? Well, what if Aaron Rodgers goes and gets hurt like he did on Monday Night Football Monday night?
Yeah.
With the reboot, they're saying, you know what? Injury happened. We'll keep the rest of your action alive for the weekend. So even though Garrett Wilson, if you had under yards, you could have had it there, right? You could have stayed alive there. Josh Allen over interceptions. I don't think they had that out there for you to choose. But Prize Picks has plenty of ways for you to play, whether it's NFL, college, or Major League Baseball right now in the playoff run, and college football. So we're recording this on a Thursday night. Action on all of the games is available, and we're getting in on the action as well. I tried to get away from Shedeur Sanders, but look, I think our man's going to put up some points this weekend, put up some yards. Did you see what Colorado State coach Jay Norvell did?
I did see.
Yeah,
that.
Deion Sanders is just looking for disrespect. So what does Jay Norvell do? He says, I sat down with the ESPN today, I took my hat off and took my glasses off. When I talk to grown-ups, take my hat and glasses off. That's what my mother taught me. So we're going Shedeur Sanders over passing yards and Jamari Thrash over receiving yards. I got a feeling the Cards are going to score a lot of points in that game. I haven't been able to pick a side either against the spread or total, even though Jeff Brohm has done well against Indiana when he was at Purdue. But, yeah, I'm liking those two for my Prize Picks. Who you got this week for your Prize Picks, Mr. Luckett?
Yeah, we're going. We got a double dip in LSU-Mississippi State, which is probably the top noon game on the card or one of the top ones. Jaden Daniels, I'm going to go over half rush TD. When they get in the red zone, Nick, it's very likely that they call QB run or him scrambling can be an option there. They struggle to run the ball against Florida State, the traditional run game. I could definitely see him sneaking one in at some point. And I think it's a game where LSU could score a lot of points. So you're going to get a few swings there with Jaden Daniels over half rush TD. Mississippi State has gotten real run heavy here lately, Nick. But LSU stuffed the run against Florida State. They are legit in their front, and they can stuff the run. I think it's going to be a long day for Mississippi State's run game. If you kind of look at some of the efficiency numbers last week for Woody Marks, they weren't great. Popped a couple big ones. But I'm betting on LSU stuffing the run and not allowing them to pop a couple big ones. So give me under 69.5 rushing yards there in that game in Starkville. And then the night SEC primetime game, probably the top game on this week's slate, Tennessee at Florida. You know, the big story, Joe Milton hasn't hit on vertical passes, and that is an issue for this Tennessee offense. And we're going to get to this Tennessee-Florida game. I guess we'll talk about it later. But I just like Squirrel White here. Over 55, more than 55.5 receiving yards. He should be Milton's number one target, and that's just one big play. If you don't see, if it's on one big play, even it's just a screen, Nick, that's cash. And that's a game that I think could go over that 58.5 total. So give me Squirrel White more than 55.5 receiving yards.
When you download the Prospects app, use promo code KSR and they will match your first deposit up to $100. Prospects.com or the Prospects app, promo code KSR, and you'll get $100 match, up to $100 match on your first deposit from Prospects. Let's go ahead and talk about that game, Luckett, or those two games, because I don't think we have either of them in the car. It sounded like you were feeling good about LSU covering a big number as a road favorite. I don't think Mississippi State is that good, but I also don't have enough confidence for LSU to play at the cowbell ring in Davis-Wade Stadium for an 11 a.m. local kick. So are you feeling good enough that the Tigers will come in and whoop some ass?
Yeah, you look at this series recent years, the only time Mississippi State covered was that COVID game where Bo Pelini was just playing man coverage over the last 5 years. I'm not big on Mississippi State, Nick. It's very much a Mississippi State fade play for me. They're super run heavy. They're not trying to pass the ball at all. I assume they're going to have to pass the ball more this week, but I think they're going to have a hard time stopping LSU. I liked Arizona last week. Arizona should have won the game last week. They outgained Mississippi State. They had more yards, but they were -4 in the turnover column. If that didn't happen, they were the better team. I thought the better team lost last week in Starkville, and I know LSU is better than Arizona. So that number's up to 10. It's not going to be in my column, but I do expect LSU to win that game and score a lot of points while they're doing it.
I'm curious with the second game. There's something about this Florida Tennessee matchup where it. From a X's and O's standpoint, Tennessee is a superior team, but there's just so much juice behind this game. Tennessee hasn't won there since 2003. I think it's been like they've had two wins there in like 40 years. There's something about that place. You're getting a lot of talk around Knoxville. Like there's a lot of, I don't know if questioning's the right word, but there's not a lot of confidence in that team right now. You got players only meetings. So like, on paper,
feeling the pressure, it feels like.
On paper, I don't know why I would take Florida, but just like my gut is saying that the Gators are going to keep this game close in the fourth quarter, in part because I mean they played Utah. I know the final scoreboard, like it felt like the game was over after the first snap, but they hung tough, they overcame some adversity, and they got, I mean, there was some empty yards and some empty production there at the end, but if they can just punch it in a few times there, That would have been a ball game going down to the wire. So I don't know. I got a feeling Saturday's going to roll around and I'm going to end up throwing some coin down on the Gators to cover 6.5. Might even buy a hook to get it to 7. There's a lot of there's a lot of stuff this week where I just want to buy hooks because I'm like a lot of them just make me feel weird.
Billy Napier 4-0 against the spread as a home underdog at Florida. So that's in your favor. He was a good dog at Louisiana. Here's the thing. I'm going to have a play on this game. It's going to be on the total in the column, but I'm just going to leave you with this. Florida was a dog multiple times in SEC and the Florida State game at the end of last year. So you got to ignore the Oregon State and or Utah games to start this season, but they scored 33 points, 20 points against Georgia, 41 points, 38 points as a dog. Typically, they play their best offensive football as a dog. I have a feeling they're going to score some points here on Saturday. I think we're going to get one of Florida's best offensive efforts of the season in this game. And Tennessee's going to have to match that, I think. And I don't think Tennessee is going to go out there and just score 13 points, Nick. Like, for Florida to win this game, they're going to have to get to 30 points. The total is 58. That's as I can take you to water. I can't make you drink it. That's as far as I'll go there.
Well, I'll hopefully let you drink up a win, because there are many haters and losers out there that say that this is a bad slate. But there's one game that I saw, and I just – it just jumped off the board for me. And it's in that noon slate. It's the first sellout in Columbia, in Como, in I don't know how long. But I don't know how they're only 3.5-point dogs. Missouri's offense just stinks. They're not good. I don't know where they're going to score points to be able to keep up with Kansas State, who dropped 42 on Troy last week. And I know there's Sun Belt, but like, John Summerall can coach some defensive football. It's a very balanced Kansas State team. I just think they're going to overpower and beat the hell out of them. Like, there's nothing about Missouri that leads me to believe that an atmosphere at 11 a.m. local time is going to just keep them around to be able to hang in this game. So, Kansas State, superior team. I know there's a lot of new faces from that Big 12 team, but I like what they've done so far this year. They've taken care of business. Missouri has just been kind of, against similar subpar competition. And our guy, Parker Fleming, Stats of War, he was on with Andy Staples for their preview. And his numbers have this as a 10-point Kansas State win. That's a huge margin. Give me the Wildcats covering in Como.
Yeah, a monstrous game for Missouri. You look at their schedule, Nick. If they win this one, they'll be 5-0 when LSU comes to town on October 7th, most likely. They get Memphis and St. Louis next week. They go to Vanderbilt the week after. This is a huge game. I mean, this is the game that gets Drinkwitz firmly off the hot seat. If he wins this one, that's going to cool down. And it's an old Big 8 rivalry. Like, this is an important game to the fan base, because this used to be a team they played. I mean, they've played them over 100 times. And they got housed by them last year up there in Manhattan. So it's a big game. But Chris Klieman, to your point here, 4-1 against the spread as an away favorite. So it's a spot K-State has performed well in. Under him, you have to think Kansas State has a better quarterback and Will Howard. I think offensive coordinator Kirby Moore is still unproven for Missouri. So a huge game here against the Purple Cats in Como.
Luckett, your first pick. You're running with the dog.
Yeah, this is an overreaction to me. Pitt is getting points now at West Virginia. Throughout the offseason, they were going to be a favorite in this game. I think we're getting an overreaction here because Pitt played bad against Cincinnati last week. So, like, Cincinnati gave it to Pitt last week, got a huge road win. But I'm not surprised by that, because I was higher on Cincinnati than most.
You're Scott Satterfield's number one fan. Yeah.
So I'm just banking on my belief, my system right here, that we had Cincinnati underrated. I think Pitt was probably proper related. They just lost a tough game where their quarterback was awful. If you watch the tape, Jerkovic had a really bad game. I think they get a bounce-back opportunity this week. They're getting points on the road when they should be favorite. So give me – I penciled it. It's in at Pitt minus 1.5, and it's dropped 3 points or 4 points since then. So I'm on the wrong side of the sharps here, but I just think we're overreacting here. So I'm going to take Pitt. I think we're giving West Virginia too much credit for kind of hanging in there with Penn State. And I think we're hammering Pitt for losing to a Cincinnati team who I think is going to end up the season like 7-5 or so and just be a competent football team. So give me Pitt plus 2.5 in the backyard brawl.
My thing is Neil Brown's really good at keeping it close. He's not really good at winning these close games at all. I mean, West Virginia is the kings of woulda, coulda, shouldas under Neil Brown. And there's a lot of pressure on this game, right? Like, basically, if he doesn't win this, he's done. Especially after the way the backyard brawl unfolded last year. This is one that the more the money goes in away from Pitt, the more I like it. So I'll probably end up walking to the window and making that bet on the Panthers as well.
Well, you could, we'll ride it together on our drive, so we have cheering interests on the ride up to Lexington.
For my second selection, I'm not trying to overthink this too much. This isn't rocket science. Northwestern stinks. They're very bad at football. Very, very, very bad at football. I almost thought about taking the Northwestern team total under 13.5 points, too, at plus money. But one of your trends that you shared on KS Board this week, Mike Elko 7 at home under against the spread at home at Duke. The Blue Devils just stink. The Wildcats from Northwestern, the Purple Wildcats from Northwestern stink. I tried this method with Virginia last week, and it didn't work. But I think it's safe to say I can fade Northwestern. Greg Schiano, he was chopping away, and they chopped the hell out of Northwestern and won 24-7 in an ugly, ugly week one game. I think Duke's better, and even at their worst, we'll be able to win by 3 touchdowns. So give me the Blue Devils minus 19.
Yeah, Duke did not cover against FCS Lafayette last week. It was 42. The final score was 42-7. But that was their only loss they've ever had under Elko. So he's been cover factory there at Wallace Wade Stadium. Yeah, but this is more of a play, I think, for you just thinking Northwestern's terrible. Like they go up to Rutgers and get housed. They romp UTEP last week, which was a bit of a surprise to me. But I think, you're just banking on Northwestern being terrible and Duke having the quarterback and Duke going to score some points. So how can Northwestern keep up?
And the other part of it, too, is Duke will just – like that, they can be demoralizing the way they play defense. And so even if Northwestern – like I just don't think they'll have much life left to them in the second half, and Duke can get a couple late touchdowns to make sure I don't have to sweat this one out too much. But knock on wood. Look it, your second
pick. Have a good knock on wood.
With my hatchet. We're trying to – because I'm a hack. I got to hack it away through this –
that, that you are, Mr. Roush.
Yeah. Pick number two for you.
Yeah, we're going out to Las Vegas, the house that Mark Davis built. Vanderbilt at UNLV. Well, it's actually 7 night. O'clock, unfortunately. They stuck this in a 7 o'clock window, unfortunately. Vanderbilt under Clark Lee, Nick, is 3-0 against the spread as a non-con road favorite. They beat Colorado State as a dog year one outright. They beat Northern Illinois last year, ran away, and they beat Hawaii runaway. They've played good in these spots under Lee. Last week, Vanderbilt Wake Forest went back and watched that game. That was actually a pretty evenly matched game. Just some untimely mistakes by Vanderbilt allowed Wake Forest to build a cushion. Turnovers were a big thing, big part in that. I think Vanderbilt just got better players here. I think they're going to be pulled away. I think they're going to score 30, 35 points. And I'm comfortable laying the 4 against Barry Odom's UNLV Rebels, who are in year one of a new tenure and what they're trying to do. So give me Vanderbilt to continue this road ATS or non-con road ATS trend under Lee. I'm going to lay the 4 points with the Commodores.
Betting on Vandy, always a dangerous proposition. We'll see if it pays off. I'm going back to a team that this might as well be North Carolina sports radio at this point. UNC is a 7.5-point favorite against Minnesota, and they are – I can't think of two bigger clashes in culture, the colors, the style. Like, everything about this game is just so different. It's such a weird matchup, which normally makes me want to stay away. I might end up – but, like, North Carolina – they probably got a little full of themselves, and then they went and played an in-state team at home and got their best shot, and they survived in overtime. I don't know how – North Carolina's defense isn't good, but how does Minnesota score points at all this year? I know Nebraska's front is probably decent, but is it that much better than what North Carolina's is? And you saw it was just pulling teeth to score in that Nebraska game. This offense is so bad for Minnesota that – North Carolina's defense doesn't have to be a world beater to hold them to 10 points, 14 points, 2 scores. And I think with Drake May, you're an automatic 28 points there. So I might be a little chicken bleep and pay for the hook there because there's nothing worse than losing to a hook. But I still like the Tar Heels here to cover in a Power 5 matchup against the Golden Gophers.
To me, it's almost like a team total play. Like, how many points do you think Minnesota's going to score? Like, I think you kind of have to ask yourself that. And then if you think it's 17, well, then North Carolina's just got to get to 20 – or 17, you got to get to 25. Oh. It seems like a reasonable ask, you know.
Right, right.
To me, it's almost like what side do you feel more comfortable with? Minnesota not scoring or North Carolina scoring? And team total is maybe something you should look at there. But, yeah, that's just a wild game. Just styles make fights, and these two are the polar opposite. Even the head coaches are – I mean, I guess they're not super different, but it's just young PJ Fleck, old Mac Brown. I mean, it's just a ACC, right. Big Ten. And it's kind of a, you know, Minnesota plays old school Big Ten football, and North Carolina's in the All Coast Conference, and they're trying to spin it around, not play much defense to just win shootouts. So it's an interesting dynamic there in Chapel
Hill.
Heck
of a schedule for North Carolina, SEC, Big Ten, and getting a home game with the in-state Sunbelt team. So we'll see how that all unfolds this weekend. Look at who you got for your final pick of the weekend.
Yeah. Nick, I'm a sucker for Georgia under in SEC games. So we're doing it here. South Carolina at Georgia under 54.5. South Carolina has never scored more than 17 points in regulation against a Kirby Smart defense. Kirby Smart's been there a little bit now. Like, they believe this is his eighth year. So yep. They've struggled against Kirby Smart defenses. How are they going to block Georgia? You know?
Yeah.
South Carolina ran for less than 3 yards per carry against the Fur Man last week. They gave up like 7-8 tackles for loss. It's going to be a long day at the office for South Carolina's offense. So to me, you look at the other side. Georgia is starting games very, very slow.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia fans are not thrilled with Mike Bobo at the moment. Their running game has been a problem this year, Nick, because they just had a bunch of injuries. And so they're struggling to run the ball. They're putting a lot on Carson Beck. So give me another slow start and give me Georgia just putting Spencer Rattler in the torture chamber for 60 minutes of football on Saturday, and I think that equals an under. This I could definitely see this one getting to the house at 31-3.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're gonna take. So give me a slow start from Georgia, and I feel good because South Carolina, the only way they're really scoring to me is they just Rattler extends a play and hits a bomb.
Yeah. Or special for the most part.
Unless they hit them, unless they hit them with a scripted drive or a special team score. But this could be a situation too where Beamer and his staff made, all right, let's just pack it in. Let's not show anything like extravagant on special teams because this is going to be a rough day because they're not blocking that Georgia front.
No. I was thinking, like, well, could I do a South Carolina team total? Vegas is on with the juice, too, right now, 13.5. It's -125 or -130. Mm-hmm. Under 1.5 touchdowns is -140. Like, it's just not a lot of value there. So that's probably the way to go is to just bet the total on both sides. So
hopefully. In Georgia, they get leads. They get leads typically with Kirby. And they this team is different, though, because they might have to pass more. But typically, they just start running that.
Sit on it. Yep.
Yeah.
A quick look at some of the local games. I'm tempted with Indiana Louisville to bet the over in that game because I don't think the Louisville defense is that good. Murray State's not an indicator of that. And I could see the running quarterback for Indiana getting loose. Taven Jackson, Trace Jackson's Davis' little brother. I could see him getting loose for a couple scores. The -10 is just – the -10's tough for me because I know how Jeff is as a big favorite. Like you could see him leaving that back door cracked and Indiana sneaking in there late. So I'm leaning towards the over in that game, but ultimately Louisville should be able to outclass Indiana.
Yeah, for me, Indiana held Indiana State to like 80 yards of offense last week, and they did a really good job against Ohio State's offense.
Yeah.
Defensively. So I do think Louisville overs might end up being a principal for us at some point, but I'm not ready to jump on it this week. I could see Indiana giving them some issues and keeping that game close for a while. and maybe even having the chance to win there in the fourth quarter. But it's a little too early to – I don't really have a good feel, I don't think, for either of these teams quite yet.
That's
but WKU goes to Ohio State. WKU goes to Ohio State, and I think they could give them – I could see that game, like, that's a game people are turning on in the third quarter potentially if they can put some scoring drives together. But WKU has not been great against some of the bigger schools with Tyson Hill. Like, they went to Auburn last year, and they were a popular dog in that game, and they got housed.
Yeah.
So that's my only worry. But they are – they're catching 28 and a half, I believe.
I saw it up to 29, which is just
– the horseshoe, excuse me.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. Kentucky, 25-point favorites against Akron. And, Luckett, I know that it's going to sound repetitive because I said the same thing last week, but they're due to whoop some ass, right? I mean, they're due to run it up. And Akron, I don't see a lot out there that you're like, well, what are they going to do? You know, so maybe they get to sitting on it. But here's my other question. Is this finally the time where Kentucky's offense comes alive in the first half? Is first quarter minus 6.5 for Kentucky? Like, feel like they might just actually be like, you know what? We haven't been running the ball at all in the first half. Let's do what we're going to do against Vanderbilt. Let's get rocking and rolling. I think that might be the move.
That's what I think that's going to happen. Nick, the three tailbacks have gotten 38 total carries in the first 2 weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if that's maybe the adjustment. Let's run it early, then start throwing it, and then get it settling into the game. But, I mean, we'll see. This is typically a spot where Kentucky plays well. Since 2018, in games where they don't cover against G5 and FCS teams, the next week they come back and they're 5-0 against the spread. That's included blowouts of Louisville. That's included the Florida win in 2018. And I believe there's a South Carolina upset in there as well. Like, they typically perform well in this spot now. Akron's been a good dog under Moorhead, 8-4 against the spread, so you have to take that into account. And so, to answer your question, I don't know. I mean, I could see it going either way. I was hoping the first quarter, Kentucky first quarters, might be a something to lean into, but that hasn't been the case because the offense is starting these games slow. Maybe they're a second half line team, right? I mean, if you would have hit the second half lines, I would like to see what those numbers are, but I would, especially the scoring wise, I think you might have hit that. So, I mean, we'll see.
Week
I mean,
but it's 10.5. So, for what?
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of that's going to be dependent on what scored halftime. You know,
exactly. That's why that's dangerous. That's a live.
I do think the fan base is chomping at the bit to get a blowout win, but I mean, no matter what happens, we'll enjoy it or be upset about it for a day, and then it's on the next week. Like, this ends the first chapter of the Kentucky football season.
We'll be a quarter of the way through. The preseason will end. We'll be a quarter of the way through.
And then the big stuff starts next week.
Exactly. So, still should be an exciting slate. You can get on the action with Prize Picks. Promo code KSR. They'll match 100% of your first deposit up to $100. Enjoy the college football games, win or lose. We're going to keep hacking away here on Pigskin Preview.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.